you think of that song? Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. That's Robin and Jenny Beinemann. An incredibly talented and incredibly nice duo. Husband and wife. You've been performing Dylan, right?
That's what we were doing all last week.
See, I forgot it was 74, 75.
75. The whole world was celebrating Bob Dylan this week.
Except me. I missed it somehow. Where were you celebrating? What were you guys doing?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I work with a band called The Zimmerman, which is Pat Brennan, Andon Davis, Terry White, a bunch of great guys in the rhythm section, John Carpenter.
Dylan's real last name.
Exactly. And Naomi Ashley, Jody Walker, and I are what they call the Zimmer Women. So we do all the backups with the band, and we do a song or two during the night as well. So we were over at Fitzgerald's on Saturday. And now Robin always comes on stage and does the final song with us, which is the Ballad of Easy Rider. But he had his own show on Saturday.
Where were you?
I was at the Filament Theater, a fundraiser for the Filament
Theater. Oh, wow. How nice.
Yeah, it's a fantastic community there in Portage Park. And great theater, and they do shows occasionally, and big Dylan fans. So they had, I think there were 10 or 12 of us who learned Dylan songs. And the group that the Zimmerman that Jenny plays with, they actually do a Bob Dylan show every 3 months, 4 months maybe. Mm-hmm. And these guys.
Well, it's not like there's no material there.
It keeps going, and they're fantastic. It's the best.
Naomi's been on the show before.
Yeah?
She seems like she is a great performer and seems like a sensible person, though she dates a bartender at the Old Town Ale House, but he's a good guy too,
yes.
So let's save that. The folk community in Chicago, it is, I think, because the mainstream press doesn't cover it with any kind of energy or enthusiasm, a lot more vibrant than many listeners would think. I mean, a lot of people think, well, it died when, you know, Earl Pianchi closed the Earl of Old Town. That is so, so not true, is it, Jenny?
You're absolutely correct. There are so many people involved in making music, writing their own songs, performing their own songs. We happen to be part of the West Side community on Roosevelt Road that includes Fitzgerald's, the Friendly Tap, Wire, which is a new music venue there. And the talent and the skill
and
of the
depth.
People in the area is just astounding.
How did you two, I know we've talked about this before, but I always like to assume that there are hundreds of thousands of new listeners out there. How did you two first come to music? Robin, what about you? I remember, but tell me.
Yeah, well, I was one of those guys who took, those kids who took guitar lessons as a kid. And I got away from it. It really wasn't until I was in my 20s, and I got heavily into old jazz, the jazz from the 20s and the 30s.
I mean, the previous guest would be
Big Spiderbeck,
Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong and Django Reinhardt, people from an earlier era. And I just got kind of obsessed with it, and with guitar in particular, and it kind of, for me, it kind of led into my 20s and 30s into playing rockabilly and punk bands and country swing music, but always with a foot in kind of the old jazz music.
And then what, meeting Jenny pulled you totally, totally into the folk scene?
Yeah, she really opened me up into, in particular, the more the personal songwriting, the more thoughtful personal stuff.
Were you always writing music, though?
I would say no. I was probably almost 30 before I really started writing songs. I would, Twang Bang was my rock and roll duo.
That's a great name.
We used to do a lot of street performing, and just had a blast. And I think we started out. I can remember doing some Everly Brothers songs, just some songs that we liked. And we kind of looked up one day, and we were like, if we're gonna do anything with this, we've just got to write our own songs.
Yeah.
And I took off. I never really stopped. Hundreds of songs since then.
But did it come easily to you? I've always been rather fascinated with the art of songwriting, even back to, Irving Berlin sitting at a poolside in Hollywood writing White Christmas, I'm thinking. Now, he was obviously a very facile songwriter. Dylan, too, is incredibly prolific. But I've always thought it's got to be harder than it looks or sounds.
I heard an interview with Woody Allen who said he said the way his mind works, it's actually harder for him not to write comedy than it is for him to write comedy.
Interesting.
I think when you really get deeply into it and you make it kind of part of your fiber, it would be harder for me to stop writing songs. Yeah. Today we were driving back and forth to Wisconsin, and I was sitting with my notebook working on a song. That's just kind of how I move through life. So
that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Jenny, you too?
There's a lot to be said for momentum. You know, once you start doing something, it's easier to continue than to stop and start doing something else. And one of the beautiful things about this songwriting community we have in Door County, Wisconsin, is you go up there for a week, and that is your only obligation, is to write songs.
I remember the time I interviewed you, the last time you were on the show, you know, not all that long ago, I don't think.
It was actually exactly a year ago.
Yeah, about a year and a week. Yeah, like 1 week short of a year because you were going up to Door County. And I thought that was fascinating. Right. What is that?
Well, what we're going up to do, and it actually starts for us a week from today. It's called Steelbridge Songfest, steelbridgesongfest.org. Yes. It is, it's a four-day festival. So it goes, the public performances are Thursday through Sunday. But starting on Sunday the 6th is what's called the Construction Zone. And about 50 songwriters gather at the Holiday Music Motel. The Holiday Music Motel has 18 rooms. It houses as many songwriters as it possibly can. Mm. And every evening, you spin the bottle for your collaborators. You wind up with two or three collaborators. You go off someplace. You write a song. You play it for the founder, Pat McDonald, who you've certainly heard his songs. He's with Timbuk3. He's written for just about everybody. Mm-hmm. Some of the great country songs you're hearing right now actually have been penned by him. He listens to the song. If he feels it's ready, you go into the recording studio, record it. And then on Friday and Saturday night, there are big performances in a restored theater downtown Sturgeon Bay. The whole community comes out. Everybody knows what the deal is. The festival's been going for 11 years now, and you can't believe the community support.
It truly sounds unbelievable. It sounds unbelievably fun, but on another level, unbelievably creative, because you're dealing with people. In most cases, I hope it doesn't go long enough so you're going, I don't want to write with that guy again or that guy or that guy. You generally have new collaborators,
right?
Do you not?
Yes, you do. And it's beautifully curated because the songwriting part is by invitation. So Pat McDonald and Melanie Jane have to understand who you are and what you do, and they have to kind of believe there's a unique place for you with those other 50 songwriters.
Wow. How many years have you two been going up?
We've been going up for maybe 5 or 6 years, right? But we've been part of the Construction Zone. There are a few different versions of this throughout the year for three years, maybe.
At least. Yeah. We actually started playing the public performance part because they have people in to play that Thursday through Sunday out of town. So you're in the motel
writing songs, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then being part of these songwriting collective weeks, I think Robin's done it a few more times than I have, and it's really changed your question about writing songs and is it difficult. It's really, for me, it turns out to be about momentum.
Wow, how interesting. These two lovely people are going to be here the entire hour. You're going to hear a lot more music. You can go to the website. Jenny, go to robin.org. That's my favorite.
Robinb.org.
I got that wrong, too. Robinb.org. We'll tell you all this stuff, so stay tuned. You got to hear a couple of commercials. Chicago Knows Best, right? Hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 on WGN-TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best, but see, you're listening to this show and you're not about to change to watch Chicago's Best. So I don't know why this commercial is on. Here are some more commercials, maybe more to the point.
Please welcome Jenny Benjamin and Robin Benjamin.
Benjamin.
I hit the water with my daughter, get some sun with my son, play pinball with my in-laws, have breakfast with my ex. I hit the road to Rhode Island, yes, I love that little state. I'm smiling in Rhode Island on that big Atlantic lake. Well,
you will hear an entire song. I will let Jenny and Robin Benjamin pick that song, but that's just a taste of these two terribly talented singers, songwriters. Tell me about how you met.
Well,
I can't remember.
It involved music, of course. People who are Chicagoans might remember the old Abbey Pub.
Oh, sure.
I think the Abbey Pub is still there, right? Somebody told me that it was shuttered, but it was reopening.
Nobody closes a good pub forever.
That's right.
But in those days, was it Tuesday nights? Was that the old Tuesday nights? There was an open mic, which is an open mic, if you're not familiar, is a great institution where people can get up and play two songs and say whatever they want, and the microphone is literally open. And we happened to be going to the same one at the same time for some weeks and had crushes on each other.
Love at first song. Love at first strum.
I actually met Robin. Robin was one of the first people I met at the Abbey Pub. He was sitting at a table. He was drawing in his notebook. And I said, I introduced myself, and he seemed very interested in that notebook. So I said, well, can I take a peek? And Robin is an incredible artist. He's just an incredible. I think you must have been doing cartoons at that time. Just like this great, great stuff. And I was like, you should pay attention to that rather than this new person who's sitting right here.
And you've been together ever since, sort of.
We have. Yeah.
How long did it take us to get together?
I mean, probably took a...
7 months.
Some months to get together, yeah. But then, yeah.
And then we dated for 3 years.
3 years.
Mm-hmm. And now we are married in August 1st, 18 years.
Wow.
Our relationship is going to college this year.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You both feel a sense of... Yeah, nobody gets rich doing what you do. You know what I mean?
Well,
you're not head. You don't manage hedge funds. You don't manage hedge funds.
Yes.
And I'm thinking of the way Libby York was talking about her lengthy, much lengthier than yours, career in jazz. The rewards are beyond money, aren't they?
Yeah, we were talking about this on the way over. We've both been actually really happy. We've always kept day jobs.
Yeah, sure.
We've had music.
You have to.
And I think that does a lot. First of all, it frees you up from having to rely on music to make money, which frees up your art.
To pay the rent and to eat.
And it frees up your art. I mean, I don't feel beholden to anybody really when I write a song. But also, I think just working a day job really... first of all, the people I work with. I work for a big law firm here in Chicago. It's one of the great law firms in the world. And I really appreciate the creativity and the humor of the people that I work with. And I think anybody who works in a job, you appreciate, if you're an artist, you appreciate that those people are working all day. And when it comes time for them to listen to a song, it's good to understand that time that they have, that leisure time they have to listen to a song is important to them. And
that's really interesting because that has got to inform, now maybe not deeply, but it's got to inform you as a songwriter. When that pen moves, I mean, you obviously have, I don't know if I think of an audience when I write. They have a guy in an L reading a paper sometimes, but not all the time. But that sense informs your music.
Who are you writing for? I mean, I think we're really writing for... I mean, it's fun to write for other artists, but I think really we're writing for people who are working all day and coming home and playing our songs in their car or going out to see us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm really not – it's not my goal to be writing for people who don't have jobs. So having one really makes me appreciate what that feels like.
All the leisure time in the world. Jenny, do you have anybody in mind when you sit down to write?
I don't know that I have people in mind, but I have an objective in mind. And
what is that?
My objective is to keep company with whoever listens to my album, to be a good companion for those people, and to sort of illuminate the little things that happen in a day, the things that are so beyond the notice of all of us, but that are really the substance of our lives. You know, something like being overwhelmed by emails becomes a song called Emails. It's not something we ever talk about with each other. Like, I can't keep up with my emails in a good way. But turning it into something that's a meditation that's part of life and help gives people their own lives back in a way
with
something a little sweeter about it, I suppose.
What songwriters, in 2 minutes we have before we have to take a break, and then in the next half hour we'll talk about these two upcoming gigs and play at least one whole song. Do you... See, now you can see. Now, you on the radio are people listening are hearing me think, which is not very, very...
It's fascinating to watch while he's thinking.
It is, yes. You should, this thing should be on TV. You
I
should
love
know,
hearing people think.
You should know that it's
I
fascinating.
I love watching Rick Hogan
it's
think.
Fascinating to watch. Yes, I should put on a 1 hour show of me just sitting on a stage. Sitting on a stage. When the ways in which you write songs, then, given the rough kind of audience you're thinking of, commercial considerations don't, and I'm assuming, don't enter into it, and that's liberating, yes?
Well, I think, you know, when you drink the water of your culture, what is in the culture gets into you. So do I know for sure that I'm not thinking about commercial concerns? I bet they're in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because it's part of our culture. But more what I'm trying to do is say something original, something that only I can say. And that is what I think ultimately most artists are trying to do.
Robin, same for you?
Yeah. I mean
I'm sure you sit down and go, man, I wish I could have a big, huge hit. I mean, everybody
sure.
would like that, I assume, because simply because more people, meaning... would have listened to it.
Sure, I enjoy that. I think I really see, like, I think the role of people like myself and Jenny, we're kind of poets, like the language, the English language for me is kind of like a playground, and it's there for us to mess around with, and that's really my role. I think when I pick, like, what kind of song I'm going to do next, very often, like, with the band we play with the Significant Others, it's kind of like, okay, the band needs this kind of song.
Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'm going to do, we need a good country song. We need a good foot stomping country song, or we could use a good jazz number now. And usually that's what'll motivate me, like kind of what I need in the repertoire at that time.
What's on order? It's like, what's the order?
Mm.
Yeah. Is there one? Oh, we're going to take a break. We'll take a break now, and then we'll come back and get some news, and then we will play an entire song and talk about your upcoming shows. We'll be right back. Robin Beineman. Jenny, it's interesting. On Saturday the 4th of June, you are not only kind of opening for John Langford is kind of opening for you. Friendly Folk Fest. Let's talk about that, folks.
The Friendly Folk Fest for Friendly Tap is located at 6733 West Roosevelt Road. And it is a coffee house. It is a tavern with live music. It is a friendly folk school. And for the Folk Fest, the proprietor, Rob Pierce, who took it over in 2007 from Rob Rolder, who'd owned it, you know, for 50 years before then, turned it into a community center.
Had it previously been a neighborhood bar?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, in fact, this week...
Not that it's not a neighborhood bar now.
Exactly. Oh, it's still a neighborhood bar for sure, but this week or last week, it was a momentous. It had... You'd been able to identify the Friendly Tap because it had an old-style sign, a beautiful, kind of cool 70s vintage old-style sign, and they just recently took it down and replaced it with a very handsome logo that says Friendly Coffee Bar and School. So it really is part of their initiative to make it clear that it's not just a bar. But it's still a bar for sure. The bar is very much intact.
This is a two-day event, right?
It is, yes. And a lot of people, it's the local people in the area who play at the Friendly Tap throughout the year and kind of make it a vibrant place. So I'm playing at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. And right after me is Steve Dawson and Ellen Cherry. Ellen Cherry is a singer-songwriter out of Maryland, and she and Steve have released an EP, a six-song EP of their songwriting collaborations. And then, so we'll be celebrating that. And then right after that is John Langford, the one, the only John Langford.
He's also a pretty good artist.
Oh, fantastic.
Visual artist.
He is one of a kind. Just,
yes, he is, and a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guy.
And then Robin plays at midnight.
And the great thing, this is all ages, too.
Yes, it is. Yes. They do a great job there. Again, they open their doors to the community. It's all about the music. It's all about making sure that there's a place for young people to play. They have an open mic. They have a school.
It's the kind of place we'll go in there for coffee earlier in the day, and there'll be a knitting club.
Is that right?
And they'll be doing
so. It's kind of this creative community center, is what it is.
And you go in the evening, and there'll be a pool table, and then you go into the bar, and it's young people, old people who, some people start drinking there about noon, and they're still drinking there at midnight.
Well, that's one of the great things about, you know, you get the whole folk aesthetic. If you're not part of it, I think you. One thinks of it in kind of cliche. You know what I mean?
I think you're right. We have to rehabilitate the words folk.
Yes, and help redefine it for this modern age. I mean, I do think people, as we're talking about the Earl of Old Town or the Old Town School, seem to be the blinders that most people have on that keep them from exploring these other venues. Do you think so?
I think there's so much popular music right now that would be considered folk music in another era. But because of the preconceived notions that you're talking about, people don't call it folk music anymore. But the Lumineers, you know, there's so many bands that you could name that have their roots in the kind of singer-songwriter work that we've talked about being, you know, brought to attention at the Earl of Old Town and other places in Chicago.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about Judy Collins, who had practically dedicates a whole chapter in her book to the time she spent in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's really been an amazing place.
Celebrated Dylan 75. I mean, Dylan sort of, I guess he kind of fractures genre. Yes.
Yes, he does. Absolutely.
But the definition of folk, I think, still applies to Bob Dylan in the same way it could apply to almost anybody who has not reached that strange commercial pop music pedestal.
Yeah, and there are different parts of it. I mean, there's the folk music that is the political, community-oriented folk music. And I think what Bob Dylan represents is like really the very personal, poetic, lyrical styles, you know, that was just very personal. It wasn't like this wasn't music to share, to sing along with. It was
right.
Like, what's going on in this guy's head, you know? And those are, that's a vein that then has just, you know, split many times through the decades. And, you know, certainly that's something that I'm interested in exploring. But
you know, I have heard, and I would be among the number who think so, that Bob Dylan should win, as screwed up politically as this organization is, a Nobel Prize. What do you think about that?
I think Bob Dylan has changed all of our lives. He whether you know it or not, he has changed your life because he's the one who came forward, and as Robin's saying, he was singing the things that nobody else was really singing about. He was making it okay to have a personal sort of catharsis in song, long form. And, you know, Joan Baez really brought him to our attention.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then there's Bob Dylan. Joni Mitchell does the same thing. I mean, I could imagine almost any honor being given to Bob Dylan. The Nobel Prize is an interesting one. I mean, you can, I don't know. What do you think?
But you read, did you read the first volume of his, I guess, so-called autobiography? It's strangely compelling, but it's strange on the face of it. Do you guys play other singer-songwriters?
It was an interesting week because we had to bone up on a bunch of Dylan songs. We don't normally.
Right.
We just have so many songs of our own that we play. It'll come up a few times a year. And be like, oh, we have to learn a such and such song.
Yeah.
I will say, we have. We were talking a little bit off the air. You know, we live in the West Side, and Fitzgerald's fantastic. One of the great, you know, family.
Oh, no question.
Clubs. And on Tuesday night, it's open mic night, and we live there, and we try out new stuff. If, you know, Merle Haggard passed away a few weeks ago,
I
took the opportunity to learn a couple Merle Haggard songs, and I went. So
I'll follow the
obituaries, or if it's Dylan's
an homage.
Birthday. So it's an excuse. That's an excuse for me to learn somebody else's song.
Yeah.
I don't typically do them at a show, at an actual show that we do.
There are certainly other songwriters you admire. I mean, obviously Dylan, Haggard. I mean, there are thousands of them, I would assume. Do you feel anybody's influence in your songwriting, either of you?
It's different for both of us. My songs will tend to be somewhat literal and sequential. Guys like Stan Freberg, Tom Lehrer, the real literate kind of folks. But definitely like the country swing guys, Merle Travis, who was, you know, fantastic, wrote 9-Pound Hammer and 16 Tons, Smoke That Cigarette, the funny songs, the funny country swing songs. That was really Dan Hicks, who passed away these last few months.
You mentioned Tom Lehrer. That's a sadly forgotten name. I don't know how many people listened to him. He was, and it's somewhat astonishing how popular he was in his day, which was a little before my day. But my God, I mean, he was that same sort of era as Nichols and May.
To me, that stuff really ties in certainly with the poetry slam stuff, you know, the real, and frankly, the urban rap stuff, you know, lots of words crammed in, you know, rhyming in crazy ways, but really essentially, you know, sequential kind of stories being told.
That's well put. We got to take a little break here, and then we're going to come back. I'm going to tell you a little bit more, Robin and Jenny are, about the Friendly Tap Folk Fest, Friendly Folk Fest. You can go to friendlytap.net, see the lineup. You guys are big, big, big on that Saturday. And the steelbridgesongfest.org. We'll be right back.
All my ships at sea, little wood and
you guys, Aubrey, do you have to leave? Is it all the way to the top of the hour? Aubrey Mumpower, the great engineer, is letting me know how much time we... Okay, you guys can either talk some more, or you can talk a little and hear an entire song. It is your choice.
Can we just play the song and talk over it?
What do you think, Aubrey? Yeah, you want to drown out your words? You want to drown out your music?
I definitely think this listening audience deserves to hear Robin's song Barstool, particularly since it dovetails so beautifully with your work documenting Chicago taverns.
or my lifestyle being in Chicago taverns. Aubrey, could we play Barstool and then we'll futz around and see how much time we may have left? You can, of course, go to friendlytap.net, steelbridgesongfest.org, Jenny Beineman, JennyBeinemann,
and we're out of time.
.com, and robinb.org. How come you have, like, I don't understand, org.net.com, I don't know. You got that up, Aubrey, ready? Here you go, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy.
Now, barstool etiquette would dictate that you may return to the stool upon which you sat. Well, the conditions under which you forfeit your claim are rarely discussed and never explained, and that's intentional. It's intentionally vague, neither spoken out loud nor written on a page. Well, the lack of specificity attracts serendipity, a vapor floating in the air, information designed to be psychically shared among the regular patrons of this watering hole. Now it's vague, and that's intentional. It's vague, and that's intentional. It's vague, and that's intentional. It's intentionally vague. It's intentional. It's intentional. It's intentionally vague.
To this barstool thing, if Jody gets up with a band to sing,
well, even though nobody wrote it down, now her barstool is sacred ground.
And if Anita hits the ladies' room,
well, we all understand that she will be back soon. But if you pick up your drink and walk to the back, now your barstool just got the sack, and that's intentional. It's intentionally vague, neither spoken out loud nor written on a page. You see, the lack of specificity attracts serendipity, a vapor floating in the air, information designed to be psychically shared among the regular patrons of this watering hole. Now it's vague, and that's intentional. It's vague, and that's intentional. It's vague, and that's intentional. It's intentionally vague. It's intentional. It's intentional. It's intentionally vague.
Full, but the bar stool is empty. Now what's the rule?
Well, there's 14 minutes on the beverage clock, but after 7, the bar stool goes on the block. And it's a combination in the great untold of common courtesy and secret code. I suppose it will never be fully revealed. You see, the multiple layers must remain unpeeled, and that's intentional. It's intentionally vague, neither spoken out loud nor written on a page. Well, the lack of specificity attracts serendipity, a vapor floating in the air, information designed to be psychically shared among the regular patrons of this watering hole. Now it's vague, and that's intentional. It's vague, and that's intentional. It's vague, and that's intentional. It's intentionally vague. It's intentional. It's intentional. It's intentionally vague.
I love that song. Not just the name of it, not just what it implies. That's a very literate yet fun song. You're a good songwriter, Robin Benjamin.
That song's called Barstool Etiquette.
Barstool Etiquette.
Yeah, my new album called Songs About Lessons Learned.
It should be. It should be requisite listening for anyone ever walking in a bar before they can sit down at a bar stool. You two are so fun, Jenny and Robin Benjamin. All the information about how to get in touch with them will be on this site, but they are playing this Saturday at the Friendly Tap.
Correct. The Friendly Tap in beautiful Berwyn, Illinois, on West Roosevelt Road, 6700 West.
Totally family-friendly, all ages. It's the Friendly Folk Fest. How many years has it been going on?
Well, under this owner since 2007.
And you've been part of it every year?
Well, we actually got involved maybe 4 years ago.
Yeah, it was terrible before.
They were calling it.
It was terrible before you got
involved.
And now
our band, The Significant Others, plays there the second Saturday of every month.
Yeah, we play there every month with Dave and Jody's Night of a Thousand Stars. They always have one or two other musical guests, and then the significant others are...
You two, I must tell you, you two seem so... You know, living the creative life is not always a barrel of laughs, but you two seem to have such fun doing what you do.
It is a joy that we both do it and that we usually have an excuse to do it together.
That's great.
For sure.
That's great. Any ambitions? I mean, beyond this, the Steel Bridge Songfest, as long as you get to participate in that... Who cares what your commercial ambitions
are? Now that we've done the Kogan show, I don't know what else.
Yeah, you can do that every year. You can do the Rick Kogan show every year and then go to the steelbridgesongfest.org. And in anybody's book, that means you have made it.
That's how we feel about it.
That means you have made it. It's always a joy, you two. And your new CD.
Yes, I'm working on a new CD. So I should have it probably before the end of 2016. It will be primarily acoustic.
Great. Yeah. Your songs?
Yes.
Both songs?
My songs.
All only yours?
Yes.
We tend to take turns. We have one album that is live. Both of us are the kind of duet version of what we do. And then usually we'll take turns. I'll make one. And I just got one out this year called Songs About Lessons Learned. Jenny's next.
Such a weird thing, albums in this new listening age, don't you think? I mean, you obviously conceive. I talked to Libby York about this. There's a narrative to an album, man. It's not like I said, to do it the way they do it now would be to pick up Moby Dick and read a page of chapter 25, and then, let's read the first page. And it's crazy. That's why I'm a strong believer in buying CDs.
Well, thank you for saying that.
Well, I mean it, which we used to call albums in the day. Robin and Jenny Benjamin, it's always great to see you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Continue having fun. We got to take a commercial break and then come back and sign off. Which I will do, so stay tuned. Well, thanks a lot for listening. I hope if you have the day off tomorrow, you take advantage of it and sleep or read a book or listen to music. Thanks to Elif Garris for producing, Aubrey Mumpower for juggling all those CDs I gave him, and especially you for listening. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. The news is brought to you by VictoryAutoWreckers.com, and here, and thank you too, is Roger Badish.